Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, January 12th, 2026. And from the front page of the commercial news, the first story today is called Standing Strong. Hundreds gather for ice out protest in Vermilion County. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Multiple anti-ICE protests were held this past weekend, including one in Danville, organized by Indivisibles Vermilion County. More than 100 people gathered Saturday at the corner of Main and Vermilion Streets across from the Rita B. Garman Courthouse, protesting the shooting death of Renee Nicole Good by ICE agents on January 7th. Susan Tinkle, member of the Indivisibles and a participant in the Ice Out protest, said she thought the event went great. "We had a lot of positive responses with the drivers that went by on the street," Tinkle said. "They would honk and wave at us or give us a thumbs up, and we would make lots of noise. It was just really, you know, it's always an upbeat event. It's nothing hateful or spiteful or violent or anything like that. Everything is totally about having a peaceful assembly." Tinkle said she was really happy with the turnout. Jermaine Light, another participant in the Ice Out protest, agreed it was a great turnout. "I thought it was very good, considering it was organized very much on the spur of the moment," Tinkle said. "The most we ever had was 300, and that was in the fall sometime, but this was the second biggest one, I think," Light said about the protests the group has held. "I was proud of everyone bundling up and being out there." Light said the group has been holding protests for various things every second Saturday of the month since March. "We are not old," she joked. "Some have criticized us for being old." And after the deadly shooting in Minneapolis, Light said they had to act. "When Renee Good was killed, it just activated us to have a rally," Light said. "The worst thing we have had in all these months is someone or two gave us the finger from the car. Most people who drive by are honking and are waving, and certainly no violence at all," Light said. "And the police have been really, really nice to us and protective. At the beginning, we were frightened a little bit because this is a red county. They made their presence well known. They parked their cars and stood around us and were just really nice. They were not doing anything to us. They were just here to protect us and keep us off the street because they don't want us to get hurt." Light says the group and the Danville Police Department have a good relationship. "They certainly can trust us to not do anything bad," Light said. "They did patrol by us a few times during the rally. Some people had flashlights and lanterns, and a prayer by Ed Butler," Light said, acknowledging how much Butler gives to the community through his service as an alderman, leader with the NAACP, and work with Three Kings Peace. He made some good remarks about violence and things. "We did do some chanting, and we had some nice signs. And we sang, 'We Shall Overcome,'" Light said about the protest, adding that it was a nice feeling. She added, "I don't know what else to say, except it is important to get together and bond like that. All of the protests across the nation really add up to something. And I doubt if Trump or the MAGA people would admit it, but I think we do slow down some things." While there have been no reports of major ICE activity in Vermilion County, Tinkle and Light both say they have been told of a few potential sightings. A few months ago, someone noticed an ICE vehicle near the Danville exit of I-74. Tinkle said, "I think that what they're doing is going to be the bigger cities first. but also going to areas where I think there might be bigger concentrations of people that they just don't want in our country anymore. Light said she had also been told the same thing as Tinkle, but did not witness any ICE activity herself. And next on the front page, we have Fisher hosts firefighter film event. And this is also by Christy Jankowski. Danville. The Fisher Theater will host a special film event uniting firefighters from across the nation, spotlighting a Wichita Fire Department firefighter. Danville first welcomed this event last year. Firefighters at the Fisher will be shown for free for firefighters at the Fisher Theater on Wednesday, featuring Isaac Frazier, who has 22 years of experience. Ryan Allison, a captain with the Danville Fire Department, says the event will give attendees practical knowledge in handling high-stakes rescues, rapid decision-making, and effective choices under pressure. Additionally, it will create opportunities for participants to network and collaborate with other fire professionals from across the country, enhancing skill sets and professional support. Building on the success of last year's inaugural Firefighters at the Fisher event, which brought over 100 firefighters from departments around the Illinois-Indiana area together for a free evening of professional development at the Fisher Theater, the 2026 program continues the Danville Fire Department's goal of providing high-quality training opportunities close to home, Allison said. Allison said on Friday that around 90 people have registered, and there is room for more. Last year, Chief Clyde Gordon presented information on a line-of-duty death that his department experienced with someone he had previously supervised. The message was about training and accountability. I know we have had Chief Gordon's message referenced plenty of times when it comes to holding each other accountable and assuring our members are being provided the highest level of training we can deliver to them. Allison said Frazier takes his tactical advantage training all over the United States and has prior experience as a special operations captain in St. John's County, hands-on training at FDIC, work as a NAVRA assessor, and founded Into the Fireman's Job Symposium. Prior to the event, there will be time for networking and cocktails, starting at 5 p.m., with the program starting at 7. Departments across the Midwest can send their firefighters, company officers, and chief officers. As of now, the following cities or fire crews have departments that are participating in Illinois and Indiana: Danville, Danville Auxiliary Police, Urbana, Terre Haute, Indiana, Honey Creek out of Terre Haute, Madison Township out of Cambie, Indiana, Attica, Indiana, Belmore Fire Department of Rockville, Indiana, Eli Lilly Fire in Lebanon, Indiana, Martinsville, Rossville, Tilton, Mundelein, Bismarck, Georgetown, Decatur, Homer, Anchorage Middletown Fire from Louisville, Kentucky, Avon, Indiana, Brownsburg, Indiana, Champaign, Lynch Area Fire Protection District of Danville, the Illinois Fire Service Institute, and East Central Fire and EMS from New Haven, Indiana. To register for the event, go to the Danville Fire Department Facebook page and sign up. And our final front page story today is titled Schweitzer Appointed to Veterans Commission. And this is also by Christy Jankowski. The Veterans Assistance Commission in Vermilion County appointed military veteran and Illinois State Representative Brandon Schweitzer, a Republican, as their interim superintendent. Schweitzer is replacing E. Marty Carroll, who was dismissed as superintendent last month. Schweitzer said he is taking on this position as a volunteer and will continue serving in his other leadership roles. "I'm the commander of the VFW," Schweitzer said. "I know a lot of the folks on the board, and it was really just my desire to want to help veterans out." Schweitzer said he is passionate about helping veterans, so it was an easy yes to the board. "They," the VAC board, "asked me if I was interested in kind of doing it as an interim," Schweitzer said. "I told them that, you know, I just want to do it on a voluntary basis. I have no desire to take any compensation for it. You know, I do have my state representative position. That is my main focus. And so this is really, you know, I'm helping out as much as I can until we get someone hired into the position." And the board has already posted applications. Schweitzer said he knows a few people have applied for the position of assistant. The assistant position has the application process already started, Schweitzer said. "There are a few people, I'm not sure exactly how many, that have already applied for it. And probably within the next week or two, they're going to get the superintendent position out there as well. The reason I wanted to step in, so we have continuity of services, so none of that's going to go, you know, get stopped," Schweitzer added. Sabrina Kelly of Danville is a post 9/11 Army veteran who has spoken out at multiple public meetings. She feels more assured now that there is a new leader. "My personal information was leaked to the county board in November by the chair of the board, the VAC board. Kelly says that the board member has been removed," she said. The member was Todd Castleberry. "That was given to him by Marty Carroll," and she added, "it's supposed to be bound by HIPAA." Kelly continued, stating she felt violated by the VAC. "I gave them a whole packet on what was violated and the emails of myself and Marty Carroll." Kelly also claims Carroll tried to say she worked for the NAACP, to which Kelly says is not correct, as she is a volunteer and not paid. Kelly has hope for the future of the VAC. Mackenzie Ellis White is on the board, and she has a very strict level of confidentiality that she follows anyway, Kelly said. "I hope it will be good." Ellis White was appointed as chair in December. Representative Schweitzer adds that veterans should reach out to the office if they are in need of help. "Any veteran that's out there, if you need assistance, and you know you're running into some hard times, call up the VAC," said Schweitzer, adding that the number for the VAC is 217-554-7950. Currently, they are undergoing a lot of changes, so it will take some time to get the systems in place, Kelly said. "That doesn't mean it won't happen. I think it's just going to take a while to correct things and get things in place." Kelly says she is unsure of the public trust in the VAC. "That's the honest truth. I am with veterans pretty frequently myself, but I haven't gotten a feel yet for how people feel about it." And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for January 12th. And the first one today is for M. Janie Mertz. Mary Jane Janie Mertz, age 77, of Rossville, passed away on January 5th, 2026 at 11:29 a.m. at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana of a broken heart. She was united in marriage to Alan E. Mertz on February 28, 1982, at the Rossville United Methodist Church. Mr. Mertz preceded her in death on December 21, 2025. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Saturday, January 10, 2026, at Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac, followed by a celebration of life service at 12 p.m. In accordance with her wishes, cremation rites will follow the services, and she will be interred at Bethel Cemetery at a later date. Memorial contributions may be made to Eastern Illinois Abate. Nancy Livingston. Nancy Livingston, 89, of Catlin, died Monday, January 12, 2026, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robison Chapel at 103 Douglas Street in Catlin. Bessie McDuffie. Bessie Mae McDuffie, 83, of Danville, died Thursday, January 8th, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday at Leek and Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street in Danville. A homegoing celebration will be at 11 a.m. Friday at the funeral home, and the eulogist will be Pastor Ricky Hoskins. Interment will be in Spring Hill Cemetery. Phyllis Wilfong. Phyllis Gail Wilfong, 85, born in Champaign County to Wayne and Dorothy Lindsay on June 19, 1940, passed away peacefully on Sunday, January 11, 2026. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, January 17th, at Freeze Funeral Home, 302 East Grand Avenue in St. Joseph. Pastor Gary Maxwell will officiate, and burial will be in Mount Olive Cemetery in Mayview. Visitation will be from noon to 1 p.m. on Saturday. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We have a brief article from the News Gazette by Jennifer Bailey titled, Danville Office Closes for a Day After Vehicle Hits Building. Danville. A vehicle crashed into Aqua Illinois' Gilbert Street building in Danville on Monday morning, causing the water company to close its office for the day. According to the Danville Police Department, police responded at 8:17 a.m. to the Aqua Illinois office building at 322 North Gilbert Street for a report that a vehicle had struck the building. Officers, upon arrival, met with the 47-year-old driver of a Chevrolet Equinox. The driver stated she was not paying attention and had possibly fallen asleep when she went through the intersection and struck the building. The driver was issued a citation for failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident and was released at the scene. No injuries were reported. Aqua officials say the accident occurred at roughly 8:13 a.m. when the car, heading westbound on West Seminary Street, ran the stoplight at West Seminary and North Gilbert Streets and collided into the side of the office building. The car was roughly 3/4 of the way emerged into our office building. Nobody was hurt, though there is extensive damage to the building inside and outside, according to Andy Price, area manager for the East Central Division of Aqua Illinois. Aqua closed the office for the day, but Price said they expected to be opened back up this morning. All other operations are business as usual. And turning now to the sports pages, from the commercial news, we have a story by Marvin Holman titled, Salt Fork Boys beat Georgetown Ridge Farm. Georgetown. The Salt Fork basketball team is slowly figuring things out as the season progresses. The lesson the Storm learned on Friday against Georgetown Ridge Farm was simple. Take the lead early and not only hold on to it, but continue to build on it. That was key in the Storm's 46-33 win, the team's sixth in a row. What was nice was that we slowly extended the lead, Salt Fork coach Andrew Johnson said. Give credit to them for coming back and getting back into the game here and there, but we kept making sure that we won a little bit in each quarter, and it all added up to a nice win. It shows good maturity in a team to understand how important possessions are. The Storm jumped out to a 12-4 lead in the first quarter, highlighted by three-pointers from Eli Ware and Ian Church. Our guards stepped up big time, Salt Fork senior center Maddox Stein said. We were not getting looks at the post and getting turnovers, but they found a groove and hit some shots and kept us in it. The Buffaloes were down 23-13 at halftime with a slow start that head coach Zachary Morgan was not expecting. Tonight was not how we looked all week in practice. I felt a lot better coming into the game, and what I saw on the floor is not the team that we are. So I was pretty disappointed, Morgan said. I don't know where the kids' energy was in the first quarter, but we are going to fix that the first thing in practice. The Buffaloes started to make moves defensively on the guards, but Stein was there to put back some shots to help out. What was happening was they put pressure on the perimeter, and that opened up a lot of lanes inside for him to clean up, Johnson said. We had some bounce come our way, but I think that happens when you're doing what you should be doing. Stein was doing that while dealing with Georgetown Ridge Farm's Austin Grider, who had 17 points to lead all scorers. He's a good player and very quick, and he can shoot very well, but I have to be disciplined and not go for the fakes and handle my business, Stein said. I had to go for the finish and play my game. Grider is tough and is a great player, Morgan said. I think we were better when he is filling up the assist column more so than the scoring column. But we couldn't make layups or anything. If you have one player scoring and the other four aren't having a great night, you have to find other ways to get the ball in the hoop, and we didn't have it. We were selfish offensively, and we paid with it. William Runyon had 7 points, and Jace Latoz had 5 for the Buffaloes, who was part of a cold stretch with the Storm where no teams were scoring in the third quarter. It was a stalemate for a 4-minute window, Morgan said. I felt disappointed because we had good practices, and we had a good game on Tuesday night. So we are going to have to hit the drawing board and figure it out. Ian Church ended up with 11 to lead the Storm, while Braxton Clem had 9. Stein had 8, Ware had 7, Weston Church had 5, and Zayden Bromley added 4. In the middle of their win streak, the Storm have now beaten the Buffaloes twice. The teams faced off in the BHRA Heritage Christmas Tournament, with the Storm winning 46-37. It's good to see these guys progress as a group. I knew I had a young and inexperienced group starting forward. Playing Georgetown in such a quick turnaround brings familiarity, and then it comes down to execution, and I thought we did a good job in that. We have to turn things around and take those steps forward. Even if it is small steps or minor details, they are important in moving forward. Moving forward for the Storm was not easy as their win streak was snapped on Saturday in a 63-58 loss to Arthur Okaw Christian. Ware had 16, Ian Church had 15 and Stein added 12. The Storm have games between Cisna Park and Urbana University this week to get ready for the Vermilion County Tournament. The Storm are 6th and will start against top-seeded Westville on January 20th. We have a few winnable games, and we have to take care of business so we can roll into County, Stein said. County can go either way, and we just have to go out and play our best basketball and hope to find our way. We have a lot of games in between, so we are far away from that, Johnson said. It is an opportunity to get bragging rights in the area. When we get to that point, we will make sure we are dialed and focused. The Buffaloes are seeded 7th and will face number 2 Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin in Saturday's third game. We are the 7th seed, and we have something to prove when we get there, Morgan said. They have Kyson Peoples, who is a good kid and a great player, and we have some internal things to fix. We have 2 games before County, and we hope to get back on track. The Buffaloes will play Watseka on Tuesday and Notre Dame de La Salle on Academy on Wednesday. Next, from the local pages, we have Illini Skateland hosts First Friday's event. This is a staff report. Danville. First Friday's is expanding this February outside of downtown Danville. For the first time ever, First Friday's is teaming up with Illini Skateland to bring Glow in the Galaxy from 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday, February 6th. All ages are invited to Illini Skateland, located at 8 Brewer Road in Danville, for a night of glowing, rolling, dancing, and making memories. Admission is free. Glow in the Galaxy will feature free roller skating and laser tag excitement, Glow disco dance floor fun, and arcade games and concessions will be available for purchase throughout the evening, offering support to the venue. In addition to the night's activities, each guest equals 1 free entry to a community raffle for the chance to win a brand new pair of roller skates, making you fully equipped to come back to Illini Skateland for public skate days. For more information, please contact Community Relations Coordinator Lindsay Franz at lfranz@cityofdanville.org. For more information regarding Glow in the Galaxy and upcoming events, please visit our First Fridays website at www.firstfridaysdanville.com. And from Community Briefs, we have Museum Hosts New Exhibit. The Vermilion County Museum Society, located at 116 North Gilbert Street in Danville, is hosting a new exhibit, Journey to Freedom, Illinois' Underground Railroad, from January 15th through March 28th. The exhibit shares stories of freedom seekers, conductors, and communities that were part of the Illinois Underground Railroad. This exhibit is sponsored by the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area, also known as Looking for Lincoln. The grand opening of the exhibit will be at the museum on Thursday, January 15th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Heather Frieser from Looking for Lincoln will share some background on the individuals highlighted in the exhibit and how the exhibit came to be. And finally, Nancy O'Kane from St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank will be speaking to the Danville Lions Club at noon on Thursday. The meeting will be held at Spanky's Banquet Hall, located at 409 East Main Street in Danville. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, January 12th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.